Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Lucifer was an exalted cherub in heaven who rebelled out of pride and sought to overthrow the Godhead. Mankind was the divine response to the failed angelic insurrection that followed. Lucifer challenged the divine justice of being sentenced to the lake of fire, planting doubt among the remaining holy angels. To resolve the matter, God allowed the drama of free will to unfold on earth, where humanity would serve as living evidence of God's righteousness. Adam and Eve were completely ignorant of the angels, ensuring their test of obedience was fair and untainted. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today, we're doing the second sermon on the purpose of the creation. And I'm really talking about the destiny of the human race. In order to know what's in the future, we got to know what happened yesterday. We got to see what's happening today in order to see the future. Okay, I'm getting some signals here. I don't know what to do, so I'll do this. Hope that that better. So I want to take you back now to the time before anything was created as far as we are concerned in our creation. So let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that, Lord, you will help me today to speak in such a way that people will understand, they will not be rattled, they will get comforted knowing what you have done in the past and what you want to do in the future. And I just thank you, now, Holy Spirit, work on me and work on the people, and help us, in Jesus' name, amen. In this message that I have today, there is a number of things that I have talked about before, so there's some old stuff in here. And matter of fact, I've talked a lot about these different things. But for probably a few years, I have been praying to God to show me why are we going to go to a new universe? Why is this universe going to be destroyed? Why is even heaven itself going to be dissolved? What is behind all of this? What is the purpose? And the Lord showed me this. He took me behind the scenes, so to say, and information I have is in the Bible, but it's spread out. And it's simple as this. There are two universes, two of them. We're in one now. There's another one that is parallel with us. Two universes. Why? And then, here's what God showed me, and I'm going to read it to you slowly because this is a new concept for most of you. Sometimes in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit discussed the desire to create a universe where all creatures resided by their own free will and will choose to love the Godhead in return. This is what they wanted. Now, we are making robots on earth, and God is very well capable of making robots. And they don't have a free will. But the Godhead wanted beings that had the opportunity to make a choice. We want to love God. We don't want to love God. And they wanted to have a new creation where you had people They simply were there, and angels, because they loved God. They made a choice to love God. They're not there by force, and they are happy to serve God. That's what they wanted. In order to do that, they realized that they had to do it in two stages. In order for these creatures to have a free will, this venture must be carried out in two stages. They could not make a universe, put in creatures there, and said, you had a free will, and they would say, I will serve you, and another one would say, I will not serve you. So they had to have a universe to try out, to find out who wants to serve God and who does not want it. Those of us that are saved, the angels that did not sin, will be moved to the second universe where there's no sin, there's no more free will, we've been locked in, and we will now live forever in a sinless universe. Now, I have thought about this over the years, and I realize, because I said, why do we have sin? Why do we have the devil? Why do we have this and that? And the purpose is that this universe is a temporary universe, a laboratory, if I can use that term, where humans and angels have the opportunity to make a choice to serve God of their own free will or not to serve God. Look at these two points we have here now. Create a new universe where these creatures could exercise their free will. Number two, bring those who made a choice to serve God into the second universe where there'll be no temptation to rebel against the Godhead. I was told as a new Christian that God was lonely, wanted companionship, and that's why he created mankind. That's not in the Bible. It's not true. We were created to make a choice. I want to have you to think that with me. God is not interested in how much money you can make. He's not necessarily interested in that you have cars, housing, and money. These are side issues that he allowed you to have, the benefits. But God created you for one purpose, to make a choice. I want to serve God. I choose God. Let that sink in. That's the only reason you are here on this planet. It's not here to make money. You're not here to necessarily get married and have children. You are here to make a choice. God loves you. He wants to move you into the second universe. But to do that, you have to make a decision in the first universe. Back to the outline. Since time is not a factor in eternal realm in which a God would exist, they knew that the first stage would not be rushed because the process of creating the first universe would take place over an unknown number of earth years. I want to give another concept now. Time is not our friend because we have a limitation. We can live a maximum of 120 years on this earth in our human bodies. So time is not our friend. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have always existed. They have no beginning. They have no end. And we don't know. They have existed for millions of years, billions of years, zillions of years. It just goes back, 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 back. It never ends. They have always existed. You and I are created beings. We have a beginning. When we were, when our soul was created, we were put in a body here on earth. We have a beginning. but we have no end. The body you will lose, 120 years max, and you lose your body. But the real you is inside of you. That's a soul. If you're born again, you have a spirit. And your soul will live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever for eternity. It will never end. And the question now is, we are here now in this universe to make a choice. And there are two places for us to go after our body dies. If we make the right choice of accepting Christ, we're going to go to heaven. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new universe. Those that make the choice, I don't want God, I don't want to be saved, they will spend eternity forever and ever and ever and ever in the lake of fire. Since we are made eternal after we're created, God has to put us in two places. He either put us in his new creation, or he has to put us in the warehouse called the lake of fire. That's a stark relation. That's a truth that we have. And most people have not understood that. So now if we look upon the scripture here in Isaiah 34:4, and we have these scriptures now of the dissolvement of this universe. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falls off from the vine, as a falling fig from a fig tree. The Apostle Peter said this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works of that are in shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Notice now, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3:10-13. This means that there will be a dissolvement. Now, I want you to think about this. Right now, God lives in what the Bible calls heaven. He has a temple there. He has a throne room there. It's a holy place. Why would God dissolve his dwelling place in heaven, the throne room? The reason for that is it has been contaminated. Lucifer used to be up there. He was a cherub. He would do worship, he would lead in worship. It is defiled. So I want you to really understand now. The heavens, where God is now, and this entire universe will be dissolved, cease to exist. This is temporary. We are going now to a second universe and a new heavens that will last forever. The God had now done what they wanted to. They got holy angels there. They got humans that have been born again and have made a choice to serve God. And they're going to live with us forever and ever and ever. This is what the Bible is teaching. So our priority should be this. We need to get saved, make a choice. God is interested in us. Jesus said, you know, like he took care of the lilies, he would take care of us. He would see we have clothing and food and so on. But this is temporary. These bodies are temporary. We are here for a short time. 120 years. And then we are moving on to another place. So we are to witness. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go ye out into the whole world and teach. So this is really our purpose here. To get saved, to be active in the kingdom of God, and to do His will. In Revelation 21:1, we read this, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So get used to that this is temporary. Heaven where God is right now is temporary. But it's going to be an eternal place, a universe, and the new heavens that we will live forever and ever and ever and ever without an end. Having laid that now foundation, I'm going to be talking now in future sermons. How do we prepare to get good positions in the new earth, on a new universe? The God there did not want any surprises, and they utilized a huge design center where they conceive universes, but also massive computer system capable of running virtual time runs on any project. In heavens, where they are, they have these massive computer systems beyond what we can think of. And they can actually design things in it. They can make it come alive. And they can run it and they can tweak it. We learned about 50 years ago, we had our first video games. They were crude. But as time has gone, the video games today are not the same as the old ones. Today, you can insert yourself. You can change the characters doing what you want them to do. And you can manipulate it. And you can see how things will work out. The Godhead had a virtual time run center where they could simply say we're going to create something. But before we do it, let's run a virtual time run and see how it plays out. And not manipulating, but change things around in our favor. The first new universe was designed with angels and humans. To date, data on the created beings were inserted in the computer along with the universe design. And then the God had started a virtual time run. You and I have not existed prior to this. We have not existed prior. But we were designed. Our souls were designed before the foundation of the world. Everything that you are were designed prior to it. Anything. Doesn't mean we existed. We existed in the computer system. When God activates a soul, He then makes it come alive and places it here in a physical body. And now it is up to you to make choices as we live here. They passed the virtual time run when they saw Lucifer's rebellion and heard the cherub state that he was going to dethrone them and take over the creation. We find this in Isaiah 14:12. How you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you cut down to the ground with weaken the nation. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sight of the door, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Lucifer was one of the most powerful angels. Beautiful, he had wisdom that is beyond what we can think of. And God created him that way. And when the time run was run, Lucifer, we don't know how long he was going up to heaven and serving the temple of God and worshiping God. But eventually, He made a decision. I don't like to be number two. I want to be number one. I'm going to dethrone God. I'm going to sit at his chair. I'm going to be the one running it. That's called insanity. Because how can a created being rebel against his creator that created him? Lucifer gets his energy from God. He doesn't have any energy by himself. Fallen angels get energy from God. They are maintained. So God there decided to play it out. And they used Michael, the archangel, and his armed forces to put down a rebellion. Lucifer and his fallen angels were arrested, tried in court, and sentenced to the lake of fire. It was over for them. God had simply said, that's it, you made a choice, you're toast. Lucifer appealed the sentence and questioned how a loving God could cruelly sentence angels to the lake of fire to be tormented for eternity. He should have thought about that before he rebelled. He simply said, no, okay, I made a wrong choice, but I don't want to go to the lake of fire. According to the rules of regulation, this universe, you made choice, and you have to live with the choice. Lucifer appealed his sentence and questioned how a loving God could cruelly sentence aid the lake of fire to be tormented for eternity. Satan had planted a doubt in the holy angels that remained loyal, and unless this doubt was properly addressed, they would carry this uncertainty forever. He could not bring them into the new universe. The only way to prove the God's righteousness was to create another set of beings with a free will and allow Lucifer to tempt the humans. The God had decided to have this vindication played out on Earth, the former planet. Lucifer ruled as a regent and allowed him free access to Adam and Eve. The planet was refurbished, and the humans were deposited in a lush garden. Adam and Eve were ignorant of the time before their existence, so Lucifer could not accuse God of cheating. They would only know that they existed, and the point of contact was Jesus. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, they were sitting ducks. God did not tell them, okay, Adam and Eve, here's the deal. I created an angel by the name of Lucifer. He decided to rebel, and he started a war, and finally we put him down and sent him to the lake of fire. Now, he's moaning and groaning that we are not righteous, so we created you to prove our righteousness. So beware now, you're in the garden, and Lucifer is going to come in to you and try to tempt you. If Adam and Eve would have known exactly what had happened prior to them being here, they would have said to Lucifer, get lost, scram, we're not going to follow you, you're an idiot. But they knew nothing. And so when Lucifer came in, he had a tree that he used to tempt, and Eve decided to rebel and take the fruit that she was forbidden to take. Adam was not deceived. He simply chose Eve over God. Now, the human race was simply cooked. Adam and Eve would be allowed to live in the garden for more than a day, more than 1,000 years. Enjoy having children and live a pleasant life without sickness, disease, and death. So, I'm not going to get into that here in this message here. But a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. It was 6 days of the refurbishing, one day of rest, the Sabbath. So Adam and Eve lived for about 1,000 years plus, because they were made in the sixth day. They had children. There were millions of them. And they had a good time for 1,000 years. She got pregnant. No pain, giving birth. No sickness. Just wonderful pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And God had allowed that to simply say, I gave Adam and Eve everything whatever anyone could desire. And Eve, by her own choice, said, I will be like the gods. I will have more knowledge. And she rebelled. One tree was planted in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And this will be the medium used by Lucifer to tempt them into sin. Adam was told by Jesus that eating from a particular tree would result in death. Now, time before Adam and Eve, there are three passages in the Bible that gives information about the events taking place before the refurbishment of the earth and the creation of Adam and Eve. Jesus revealed that erupted in heaven with Lucifer's rebellion. The rebellious cherub was defeated and cast into the earth and his followers. And we read it from Revelation 12, 7 through 10. And there was war in heaven. Michael's angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought his angels and prevailed not, neither was a place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Revelation 12, 7 through 10. Now Isaiah and Ezekiel received knowledge what took place before Satan fell. And I'm going to read here to you from Ezekiel 28:14. You are the anointed cherub that covers. I've set you so. You worship with the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created, till iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled you in the midst with violence. And you have sinned, therefore will cast this profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, for the midst of the stones of fire. Lucifer was originally exalted and radiant, but he fell through pride and rebellion because he sought equality with God and was cast down to the earth. He operates through deception and destruction and will ultimately be disposed, judged, and humiliated. Let's read another passage here about him that we have in the Bible. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you cut down to the ground which did weakens the nations? If you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. We're picking up here from this here, that there on earth were nations, but Lucifer was king here, or regent. And then we continue here. You shall be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this a man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? The earth was completely developed before Adam and Eve. There were cities, nations, commerce. It was a fully developed civilization. All the kings of the nations, every one of them lying in glory, every one in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, and as a raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. You shall not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. There were people on this planet before Adam and Eve. It was a complete setup, similar to what we have today, existed prior to Adam and Eve. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. So we talked about the trial here. And at this trial, he was sentenced to the lake of fire. We know this. Jesus told us in Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The lake of fire was never prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his fallen angels. We will end up there if you make the wrong choice. If you end up in a lake of fire, that's your fault. You made a choice. Some of you might say, well, I've never heard the gospel. You can see God in nature. You can see there's a God. You can simply say, God, I want to know you. You can pray, and God will reveal to you who he is. Scripture does not specifically state Lucifer judged and found guilty, but the implication is there in Jesus' words. Why would God cast an innocent angel into the lake of fire? There must be a cause, and the deduction is there was a trial for Satan and his minions. Okay, so they are guilty, but why are they still present and able to inflict mayhem? Simply put, God is proving his righteousness, not to humanity, but to the angels he created. The Apostle Paul got a deep understanding of this. He's really the only one of the apostles that understand this concept. And he wrote this, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and to all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be able to be just and justify them which believe in Jesus. Let me lay this on you now and let you try to grasp this. If Lucifer would have never rebelled, but he would have done like the other angels did, make a choice to be obedient, there would have never been a sin in this universe we are now. The angels would have made a choice. We love God. We want to serve God. And they could all be moved over to the new universe and the new heavens. But it didn't work out that way. So Lucifer rebelled. And now the plan for the Godhead to have a universe with creatures that are there because they made a choice was it could not be done. Because Lucifer had put a doubt in the two-thirds of angels that never rebelled. They were thinking, is God righteous? Throwing his creature into the lake of fire. So you and I were created to prove God's righteousness. Our rewards are these. We were created triune. Angels are dual. Spirit and a body. We got a body, soul, and a spirit. We like God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said this. Mankind did not ask for this. They are put into this equation. And we're going to have a redemption for them. There were no redemption for the angels. We're going to have a redemption for them. No one can pay for it. Which means we, the Godhead, have to pay ourselves for the redemption of the human race. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to earth, incarnated, lived a sinless life, and then was sent us to die on the cross, where he paid for our sins, where God himself paid for our sins. A reconciliation between God the Father and God the Son. There were no redemption plan for fallen angels. The angels had a choice. You sin, that's it. There's no redemption plan for you. You're in or you're out. But because of the tremendous danger that you and I face, God the Father said, I will make a plan for them. I will pay for their sins myself. They can't. And by grace will they be born again. and I bring them in by grace, not because they have done some great things. Our righteousness are like filthy rags. That is really the story of the gospel in generality. Most people are not going to get saved. The majority of the human race are born here on earth. They die and they go to hell and lay in the lake of fire. It's a small percentage of the human race that will end up in heaven. And you and I, you that in the chapel, you that are watching me, we are fortunate, blessed to have been selected to be born again. And God gave us the power to make the right choice. I want you to think about this. If you would have been born in Russia, China, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, India, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, you would have been raised as a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Hindu. You would have been stuck in that religion. And that's all you would have known. And that's why these people are perishing. That's why Jesus said, go out into the whole world and preach the gospel, which we try to do, and we don't do a good job. But I want you that are sitting in a chapel today, and you that are watching us right now, I want you to know how blessed we are. We are blessed more than anyone can say. And all the people that are in hell right now, they're looking upon us that are born again and saying, I wish I would have heard the gospel. I wish that somebody would have shared that with me. I wouldn't be here. But no one did. I was stupid and rejected when I heard. It's a great privilege to be born again. I have a scripture here on Genesis 9:1 and Genesis 1:28. And this just to add to addition to what happened before Adam and Eve. Actually, that happened when I came here. Having this understanding now that I share with you today, you now have a full biblical understanding of the refurbishment of the creation of Adam and Eve. Let's establish one more fact. Jesus commissioned Adam and Eve to be fruitful on the sixth day. They were told to replenish the earth, and indicating something had occurred prior to this command that necessitated their action. In Genesis 1:28, we read this. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And in Genesis 9:1, we have the same word. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Humanity was created to prove that God is righteous. Notice that Lucifer was not allowed to enter the garden and tempt Eve until after the seventh day of rest. Let me pull this message together now as we come to a close. You and I are created beings. We have not really understood why we were created. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit decided we want to create a universe where there's no sin. And we want to populate it with beings that had a free will and could make a choice to love us or to hate us. And that is what's happened to you and me. You are here to make a choice. If you accepted Christ, you already made a choice. And you're bound for the new heaven and the new earth. And you will live there forever. Understanding that, look at the people around us. You got family, relatives that are not saved. Knowing their fate without Christ, shouldn't that motivate us to witness more? Shouldn't that motivate us to share the gospel more? We are very blessed. But do we bless others? I pray that you take time after you heard this message, if it is today or some other day when you hear it, and that you simply make a decision. This is a new concept to me. Look at the scriptures I give when you hear them. Think it out. Pray it out. And realize what I told you is truth. It's in the Bible. It is not some new revelation that an angel came to me and said, It's been in the Bible all the time, but it's not in one place. You got to pick it up in different places. And the angel said to Daniel, go your way, Daniel. He said, in knowledge will increase in the end time. And knowledge has increased. And I pass it on to you. I might not be the only one that has this knowledge, but it means that if you understand this, the theology that we've had over the years is out the window. God loves us, but he made us to prove his righteousness. So the next message I'm going to share with you, this is, we will know how it has been. We're going to know how it is going to be. And you and I have the opportunity to educate ourselves through prayer, reading the Bible, witnessing, to build up an education, a work, that when we come into the next place, they will simply, the Holy God will say to us, I can put you in a place where you can have a lot of things to do. Those that have done well here will be put over much. And those that barely got saved will have low positions. Not for 1,000 years, but forever. So you're not saved, you watch me today, and you're simply saying now, how do I get in on this? I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. And you don't have to. Jesus paid for your sins. All you have to do is to say, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe that God, that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Father God, forgive me my sins. Jesus, come in and save me right now. And he will do that. That's as simple as it is. To make it more easy for you, when we finish the last prayer up here, don't turn off your screen. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying this, my friend. He will take 10 minutes with you. Go through some scriptures, Bible verses, and he will take you step by step. So when he is done with you, you will know that you are saved, born again, and having a ticket to the new creation. When you make that decision today, please let us know. We want to rejoice with you. We want to pray with you. And we want to just maybe send something to you, if whatever you want. And to those of you that are walking with the Lord, for most of you, this is old hash. There might be some new stuff. But I tried to get a complete picture today while we have the two universes and how it came about. Go through it again. Look at the scriptures. And then simply ask God, help me to understand and walk out my salvation. God bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words that you've given John to speak to us, to let us know how we can do in our lives a better walk with you, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you for helping us, guiding us, directing us in our life. One of the most important things that we need to do as Christians today in our life, as far as what I know, and that is to read my Bible and pray and ask the Lord to help us, to guide us, and take care of any issues we have in our lives, lay them before God's feet. And he will answer your prayers and take care of you and guide you to the end of your life. That's what I see in my life. And so I just pray and ask you, Lord God, to keep using me, guiding me, and directing me, and putting into me wisdom and understanding and knowledge and prayer so we can have a great eternity with you, Lord God, in heaven. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the second part in the series, The Destiny of the Human Race, and was entitled, The Purpose of the Creation. Lucifer was an exalted cherub with access to God's throne, who rebelled out of pride and sought to overthrow the Godhead. Mankind was the divine response to the angelic insurrection. Though defeated and sentenced to the lake of fire, Lucifer challenged the justice of his punishment, planting doubt among the remaining holy angels. To resolve the matter, God allowed the drama of free will to unfold on earth, where humanity would serve as living evidence of God's righteousness. Adam and Eve were created without prior knowledge of the angels, so that their test of obedience would be fair and untainted. They were placed on a restored earth, given dominion and long life, with the caveat not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Scripture passages support the view of an existence prior to Adam, and the command to replenish the earth serves as evidence of the destructive space war which ensued and resulted in a recreation. If you want to order a copy of this message, just reference RLJ2049. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.